And said, you know, and Preacher Greg really helped me with this. He said, God knew what he's doing when he called you. He didn't want you to be anybody else. He wanted you to be Tim Kirby because that's who you are. You can't be anybody but who you are. I can't be Brother Wynn. I love your pastor. He's my grandpa, and I'll run that heritage right there. He is, because Brother Greg was called under Brother Wynn. Me and Brother Phil are brothers under our grandpa. And I love this man. And I know it don't bother him for me to say that, but I'm older than him, but he's my papa. But Brother Wynn, the way he preaches and the way he brings things to me as just a Christian, not a preacher, I love him. He can open my eyes to things that I've never seen and never realized. And another thing I want to get off, is that on, brother? Another thing I want to get off my chest is I work with Raymond, and if you want me to quit right now and leave, I'll leave. You just let me know, but I don't hold that against me, please. But you know, Brother Greg said you'll be fine down there. He said there are people just like you, and he said you will not get invited to a lot of places for the way I believe and the way I'm going to preach, because I preach out of King James Bible. I believe it. I know it. I love it. It is God's Word. Jesus died a terrible death, shed His blood that I could be saved, that I could preach this Word. That's the way it works. It's the blood of Jesus that'll get you to heaven. There ain't nothing else will get you there. Nothing within you will ever get you to heaven, I promise you. But I just, you know, back your pastor. I know you do, and the ministry he has on the radio, just keep. But there's people in here that I've known a long time, and I love them. And I just, it's an honor. And there's a lot of people that I see that I know, but I don't know. I can't call you by name. But, you know, I thank God, and like Brother Wynn said, Jesus is calling young preachers, and Preacher Greg helped me with this the most. He said he's going to replace the ones that ain't getting the job done. He said the ones that are not giving the truth, they're going to stand accountable for it. God's going to replace them. And that's God's business. He's going to take care of His own business. He's big enough to do it. I promise you, He can get you to open your eyes at anything He wants you to see. If you will, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I thought I had run off without my glasses, and I was going to have to ask somebody to have it if they'd let me borrow some. But luckily, I had a spare pair in the car. But a situation happened yesterday. Well, back when I used to be what I was, I was just sitting in God's revealed to me how He's kept me alive, you know. And if you will honestly look at what God's done in your life, there's no other way but Him. There's no other way I went through and did what I did without Jesus Christ holding my hand and protecting me, even when I was lost, because I'd open my eyes in hell if I'd have died the situation I was in. I know it. And it's like now that He's waited and He's starting to use me and He's showing me. He said, you know, I've had my hand on you for your whole life. You've got to recognize that, and you've got to believe that, and you got to know it. But I was putting this together. Well, this came to me yesterday. This was a real quick. Brother Wynn gave me a big long, you know, time to prepare. He called me Friday afternoon, but you know, and then you know, I was asking God, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And then yesterday, a situation happened on our street that opened my eyes to how fast life can be taken away. And I sit and talking to Brother Phil, who was at the hospital on his way home from the hospital with a kidney stone. He said, I know this is short, but can you preach for me tomorrow? And I said, I'll be glad to. I'll do my best. And while I'm standing there, I'm looking out the bathroom window, and I see a van pull up to my neighbor's house up there, and he let a guy out. You know, so I really started watching it then. Well, then in about 2 minutes, the boy came up on the front porch, popped the screen, and was in the house. I told Jenny, I said, 911, I'm going up there. I grabbed a pistol, believe it or not, I still believe in toting a gun, and don't have a concealed permit, though, and I'll get to that in a minute. Me and the sheriff, if I didn't know what's fixing to take place. But Jenny called the law, and she said, please don't go. And I said, well, I can't let, you know, this take place in my neighborhood. And then I said, because if that van comes back, I'm going to pull my truck out in front of him, and then it's either going to be a standoff and let the law get here, whatever's going to take place. Well, about that time now, like that wasn't stressful enough. The woman that lives there drove up the road. Now, people, you talk about the intensity level coming up. I said, Jenny, there's no way I'll let her go in that house. And I ran up there and I said, Sherry, come to me. Do not go in your house. And she looked at me, this is the funniest look. And she said, why? And I said, look at your screen. It's gone. And she said, oh, my. And I said, there's somebody in there right now. So she came to the corner of her property. And I said, have you got any idea who it is? And she said, it's probably my son. And then, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, I've just jumped the gun right here. And she said, but he's probably on meth and he don't know where he's at. So I'm sitting here thinking, my whole life could have changed in that instant. There could have been a gunfight. There could have been anything take place right there. And my wife and my boys could be sitting right there with no daddy. And you know, that the realization of how short and how instant life is, it dawned on me right there. And God said, there you go. Preach it. Figure out what I'm wanting you to find right here and preach that right there. So he did. I mean, God works with each of us individually. But I thank him for how he helps me, because I drive a lot. I'm on the road a lot. But he still helps me study and find what he's wanting me to find. That's God. He's good to us. He individually helps us in individual ways. That's what makes it personal. I love him because of the way he knows how to nurture and love and help each and every single one of us. But, I sit and I thought about that. Well, I'm going to finish it, because I didn't finish it. Brother Fields this morning, everybody said, what happened? Well, after she said that, I kind of calmed back down. I started walking back down to our house, and the deputy turned up while I'm standing there with a pistol in my pocket. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I said, you know, I had to make it, let him see my hands. And I said, come to me. But I didn't rush him, because I knew. I mean, it was going to be bad. I said, it's the last house on the left. He said, he's up there. I said, yeah. I said, it's not me. I live right here. So he went up there and I said, but he's on meth and it's his mom's house. And I said, but it could be bad, so be careful. Well, by the time we got everything kind of calmed down, two more came. But she said that he ran out the back and went in the woods, which I didn't see him go. So I feel like it's a protection thing. She's not to the point where she can give him up and let him go to jail to help him. He needs to go to jail to get better. And I told her, I said, I've been in situations in my life, and I said, I had to get to the bottom of my rope and realize what I was before I could ever get any help. You have to get to that place. You have to get to the bottom before you ever realize, I can't do things for anybody else. I have to do it for me. I have to do it for me. And that's where I got. But just, you know, keep that situation in your prayers, if you will. But God revealed to me right there how fast I could left this world. And I thanked him that I saved. It was that moment since I've been saved that means the most to me about what could have happened in that particular instance. It could have been over. A whole lot of lives would have changed in an instant. And I sit and I looked at, you know, and if you want to title this, I was talking, it's Don't Blink. Don't Blink. You know, Kenny Chesney had a song, whatever. But I started looking back through my life and where God could have changed, could have let me die and go to hell, because that's what I deserved. That's where I was, that's the way I was living. That's where I should be. But no. And then you get to thinking, well, why me? What have I ever done? I've not done anything. It's just the love and grace of Jesus Christ that wanted to save me, and I finally recognized it. But I've been in four total cars. A lot of people didn't realize I've been in a lot of wrecks. I've lived rough. I've been in a lot of bad places. And if, you know, if, I'm sure that if when I preach in Boone, that people's mouth fall open when they hear that I'm preaching. But that's the miraculous love of Jesus. That's where he can take. You're a miracle if you're saved by his grace. You're a living miracle. You're bound for hell, but yet in an instant, he turns it around and you've got an eternal home in heaven. That just does not make sense to me, but that's God. It shouldn't make sense to me, because I can't think and fathom what he did. But now, when I lived in Wilkes, I was rough. And run with the, I mean, I, everybody said, well, you run with the wrong crowd. Well, no, I was the wrong crowd. I was right. I was a ringleader. I was bad. I mean, bad. And, I was thinking another place that could have changed my life and what God's doing was I was with a boy one night, and we was out riding around. We ran up with his brother. Well, him and his brother, or his brother and his buddy, been smoking crack. And, I mean, it was out of his mind. I'm telling you, this boy was dangerous. I mean, I couldn't even talk to him. He'd known me a long time, but it's like he didn't even see me. He didn't know me. And here he comes pulling out a sawed-off shotgun, pointed that thing right straight in my face, and he said, "I ought to blow your head off." I said, "What have I done to you?" And right there is God having his hand on a sinner that's out doing the wrong thing in a bad situation, but he turned it around, and inmates turned around and blows stop sign off. And, you know, it didn't dawn on me for a long time that God had his hand on me right there that night, or I'd have died in Wilkes County on the country road. Dead and split hell wide open, because that's what I deserved. And that's what all of us deserve. And anytime you ever get above thinking that you deserve what you've got, you're wrong. I promise you. God is so amazing. It's just, but then I think about, I'll get to scripture here in a minute, brother. I've got good liberty, and thank you for praying. I appreciate it. But, you know, a couple weeks ago, when Sister Wendy went to the doctor, her life changed in an instant. She went from healthy to having cancer. Brother Phil went from being okay Friday night, because they had a surprise party for Wendy, for Jenny, but waking up on Saturday morning with a kidney stone. His life changed. That boy don't look good at all. I mean, he's hurting. I've never had a kidney stone, but they say they're tough. So your life can change in an instant, for the good or for the bad. And it's like we don't take and look at what God's offering us. If you're lost, if you're sitting in here lost tonight, I pray that you will sit and look that your life, I guarantee you there's not a person in here can guarantee me they'll make it to their house tonight. You can't. Only God can get you to your house tonight. His grace and mercy will get you and take you places. But then we take for granted what He has done for us. And that's not right, because I'm as guilty as anybody of that. And then I'll sit and think, you know, God, you I can't believe that you did that for me, or you've done something for me, or showed me something. It's just amazing. But you know, if you're lost and you're sitting here, I'm not sitting here trying to scare you into anything, but I'm going to tell you something. Your life can leave you so fast. And it's all in God's plan and all God's timing. God takes saved people out of this world, and He takes lost people out of this world. There's a reason behind it. We don't understand it all, but there's always a reason in God's plan. It's for Him, and He's got things figured out that we'll never, ever, ever figure out. I promise you that. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, then we went back down to Fields yesterday for Ellie's party, their little girl. And I'm like, you know, I was at my wife's 40th birthday on Friday, and I might have never been to Ellie's party on Saturday. That fast. And I love that little girl, but I just want you to realize, I'm trying to show you that God has had His hand on Tim Kirby for 48 years. He's still got His hand on me. I may not make it home, but I'll see you in heaven. You know, and if I know that that's where I'm going, I don't worry about anything else in this world. But only God knows how many life-altering moments we're going to have. And they'll alter your life. And most of the time, it's bad things that you'll always remember. But then again, you think about being pregnant and having babies. That changes your life. It's a life-altering moment, and only God knows how many you'll have. Don't let salvation slip away. Don't let that be the one that you miss out on. That's the most important one you'll ever have to make a decision on. That's the one you need. Well, I'm finally to the scripture now, bro. If you will, 1 Corinthians. Have already told you where to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting in verse 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption, incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The devil lost right here. He lost. He'll never win. He's fought a losing battle his whole life. God gives him the power he has. He ain't got no power except what God gives him. And, you know, in a moment, it's just, and Preacher Greg preached a twinkling of an eye one night, and somebody has figured out down to the thousandths of a second, you may know what it is, what a twinkling is. But that's how fast life changes. And we take it so for granted that it's just, I've done it. We're all guilty of doing that right there. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. We need to keep our eyes open and realize when something happens that's not what we want to happen, maybe God was intervening or steering us a different direction. And then, you know, you'll never know. We'll never know what God's done for us. I know what He's done that I can remember, but what's He done what I can't remember? What I don't even have a clue He's done for me or my family. I don't understand it. God is so good and so big, I can't even really get a but now flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is all, it's just moments. It's things that happen quick. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I've never seen Jesus Christ, but He's as real as anything in my life, as this wooden podium right here. Jesus Christ is more real than anything you'll ever experience. And I sit and I look at the Spirit and how He nurtures us and ministers to us and helps us individually, helps you in any situation you've got. And I sit and I was trying to think, and well, Paul calls it light afflictions, and that sounds a little bit like it's not that big a deal, but he's taking it serious. But anything you go through in your life, any struggle, there's a reason for it. And it's to grow you, to make you stronger, or it's for you to help somebody else that's going to face the same thing you've been through. I had a stroke in September, and that really solidified God having His hand on me. I can't answer what happened that day. I know what happened. And they've told me what happened. But there's no residuals. Now, I don't think I have any brain damage, but my wife would probably tell you different. But what happened that day when I was laying in the MRI machine, God said, "All right, you're mine. I've kept you all these years. Now what are you going to do?" I had no choice. I'm not saying He held me a gun at my head and said, "You got to preach for me." But you know, I thank God that He said, "I want you to preach my word." And you talk about a humbling experience when you finally surrender and say, "God, I ain't nothing. There's no way I could be standing right here without God. There's no way. I can't do it. He's kept me alive through so much stuff you'll never know. I mean, my boys may probably never know what I was. I hope they never do. But what I've lived through, God's always had His hand on it. And I can't thank Him enough for what He's done. But, you know, use your troubles as an opportunity to help others. I always help because somebody's going to be in the same boat. I guarantee you. Cancer is more rampant right now than I've ever heard in my life. It's everywhere. Everybody's got it. It's not really a matter of, so-and-so's got cancer. It's not when you get cancer. It's when you get it. It's not really what kind of cancer you have. It's when are we all going to get it? Because it's a scary deal. It is. And it's so, you know, and I just, you know, this happening to Wendy is, she's like my little sister. You know, she's my blood sister in Christ, but she's like my blood sister, my little sister. And I love her. And it's just hit so much close to home because it's her and I love her. And how God's used her whole life. She has got one of the prettiest voices I've ever heard sing. And you know, but God's going to use her cancer to glorify Jesus. He's going to get His honor out of her no matter what happens. He already knows what's going to happen. What I want to see is when I finally figure out what He's used her for. And I may never know. I may never figure it out. But I thank Him for, you know, in an instant, she found out she had cancer. Your life can change so fast. And you know, I think about, you know, one of the hardest things as saved or lost person is your pride. And if you're real proud and you're real high and mighty on what you have, you know, you'll never look to God because you've got everything you need. Money is your God. You know, your car's your God. The golf course is your God. Hunting, tree stand's your God. I love to hunt, but now, you know, I look at it, it's a blessing from God that I get to go. If I kill anything, it's His gift. It's a gift. It's not my skill. I guarantee you that. But, you know, pride is more prevalent when things are going good. You think when things are smooth and you're riding on the high road, you won't ever think about God. But when something flies into your life that you did not realize was coming, that's when you'll start looking to God. But the lost still will try to not look to God because they've always medicated another way. They've always been, well, I was the same way. And you know, they won't look for help when things are not going good. And I don't see how people make it through some of the adversity that they go through without God. That comforting spirit that Jesus is right there nurturing and loving and holding you and squeezing you, telling you it's all going to be okay. I don't see how a lost person can deal with a loss of a loved one or any tragedy that comes in their life. And any of the suffering that I've done in my life will never, ever, ever match what Jesus Christ suffered for me. Ever. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing that I've been through bad enough that's what Jesus endured on Christ, on the cross. He went through hell for me and you, and anything God, Satan tempted him for 40 days, he went through every single sin that you'll ever be faced with, but he didn't sin. That's why everything he's done is perfect. That's why we can be saved. That's why we have a home in heaven. If it was not Jesus, it wouldn't have worked. It's God's perfect gift was Jesus Christ. And our afflictions need to show others our faith. Amen. You know, I don't know who Wendy's going to come in contact with. There may be somebody down there that'll be taking treatment tomorrow that'll see Wendy's faith and Phil's faith. I just pray that Phil gets to go with her. That she relies on God. She ain't worried about it. You know, we as humans will worry about things, but God already knows. That's what, you know, He's already been there. And no matter how much pain and suffering we go through here, if I die tomorrow, I'm going to heaven. Amen. That's a pretty good deal right there. I don't care how you look at that. I don't care how much I suffer here. I'm the richest man in the world because I get a home in heaven, Gold Street to walk on. And now they're trying to tell us that we've got to slam all of our money into gold. Because that's the only thing, it ain't losing no value. Well, I get to walk on it. God made a street for me to walk on out of gold. You can have it all. I mean, it don't really make no difference. Because when you check out of here, they ain't going to be no sorrow and no whining and no, I hope not, about what, well, boy, I wish he'd have done a little bit more for me. No, he's done it all. And it's perfect. But then read 18 again. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Temporal is temporary. You know, it's all not going to be, you know, this life is temporary. It's a vapor. It's an instant. But what you can't see is what will last forever. That's hard to realize. But, you know, and as a youngin', I mean, it's, you know, you start thinking about Jesus. I mean, I'm almost 50, and when I get to thinking about Jesus, it gets away from me in a hurry. I can't fathom eternity with a man that walked the earth same as me, but was all God, poured his every drop of blood in his body out for mankind, went to hell for 3 days. God said, all right, it's time to come home. And he took that blood back to his daddy. And he said, that's the perfect sacrifice. Everything is fine now. Sin can be covered. And, you know, you've got to get to that point. Nothing's going to cover your sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. And that, I mean, it's not hard. And I thank God for showing me that and leading me to where I got under this book and learned it. But I'll stand here and I'll fight you over it because I believe in it that much. It's that important. That and you know, you was talking about the kids
And preacher Phil's got a good youth ministry and bus ministry. And they go get those kids, and their parents ain't a bit more interested in coming to church with them. And they'll sit right there, and they'll ask for prayer for their family. That's a blessing. But God's got them youngins in His hand. You're not going to take them away from Him. He's got them, and He's going to use them. He may use them youngins to save their parents. He may not. He may take them youngins out of here to open their parents' eyes. I don't know God's plan, but we need to be aware of how fast things can change. Life can get away from you so fast. And no matter how bad your suffering gets, it'll never last forever. Because when you step on the other side, it's over. You're in the presence of Almighty God, and there will be no suffering, no crying, no whining, no nothing. You're perfect. A joint heir of Jesus Christ. I can't get that. Amen. I cannot get that. But you know, I sit and I think about Him being on the cross. And, you know, I was here. God's here. But what's in the middle is what kept Him from striking this dead. God would have killed me dead if He saw fit to. But Jesus said no. He'll come around. We'll use that boy one day. I thank Him for it. You just don't know, realize what, you know, when it finally dawned on me what He wanted me to do, and you know, as unworthy and as vile and wicked as Tim Kirby was, and to be able to stand here and say that I'm not that no more. And it's not a bad pride. But I'm proud to know that Jesus Christ is what changed Tim Kirby. Nothing else did. Jesus Christ is what made the difference. It's what He'll always make the difference. Jesus has got to be the one that makes it, because you'll never get there without Him. I promise you that. But in closing, I'm going to say every decision, now you young people listen to me, every decision you make can affect the rest of your life. You don't look at it that way. But trust me, I've made some bad ones. I'm still thinking about them, still paying for them. I've been forgiven of them. But that's one of the devil's vices of getting back in my brain and my mind. It's what I used to be. God cannot use you. You did this. You did this. Do you remember when you did this? Yes, I know. I know what I was. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to remind me. But Jesus stepped in here, and I'll take you over to a little old church at Forest Grove over in Bethel, and I'll show him where Jesus saved me. Therefore, you can't have me no more. I'm not yours. I did live the devil's life for years and years and years. We all did. And, you know, just that instant, God changed me. You know, He'd been working a long time. But if you get changed, if you get saved, you will be changed immediately. You are a miracle. When you comprehend what's happened and you step out on faith, something you cannot see, and say, God, You're all I've got. He won't tell you no. Amen. If He did, you think how many of us wouldn't make it? Yeah. He'll say, come right here. I know what you need. I've known what you've been needing for a long time. I'm right here. I'm right here. But now you, and I'm going to get back to you young people. Now, I don't care what you've done. Your mom and daddy might. But I guarantee you, no matter the worst thing you can think of that you've done, I guarantee you I've done it. And I'm not sitting here proud of saying that. But I'm just telling you, no matter what you do, Jesus can forgive you of it. He can turn you around. He can change your life. He can do anything. He can do things you didn't think He could do. Amen. I promise you that. But I didn't ever think Tim Kirby would be standing right here. I guarantee you that. But He has opened my eyes to what He's done, and therefore, you know, it's, you know, surrendering to preach was an instant. It was a life-changing thing. Trust me, I can never be what I used to be now. But, you know, y'all pray for the men that'll stand, because the persecution is going to get harder and harder and harder on us. I promise you it is. And it's going to get wickeder, and the world's going to keep squeezing us. But, you know, we've got to be willing to die for it. There's been hundreds and thousands of men in this country died that I can stand right here and do this. If you're a veteran and you're sitting here, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are my heroes. You have provided me a country that I can stand right here and preach out of this Bible. I thank you for it. A lot of people won't. But every time I try to see one, if I see one I know they're a veteran, I thank them. Because I owe them something. Their blood lets me do this. But Jesus' blood wrote this. Jesus' blood is this. You know, I can't get over that. But any stand you take for Jesus, if you'll take a stand for Jesus, you'll get more strength from Him. Every time He'll feed you, and He'll get you bolder and bolder and bolder to where you can face sin, and we can't judge. We're not there. And I'm not trying to say that you can. But Raymond knows what I'm talking about right here. We work in a place that we need your prayers. I mean, the Spirit needs to move through that place out there. They some need saving, and we know who it is, and we just ask y'all to pray for them, because there's families, I mean, just young'uns involved, families involved, and you know, we've got to, and Raymond is, I love the way he supports me, but it's in a quiet way. He don't have to be boisterous or flamboyant. Raymond is Raymond. Raymond helps me a lot, just being the demeanor that he has. I love you. You give me a lot of peace, because I know I can come to you if it's something about, well, you know, I got to get away from what I'm hearing back in the back, or I've got to get, you know, I can get away from that. But if I get to Raymond, I know I'm okay, because me and him ain't going to be talking like that, you know. But you got to separate. But, you know, Jesus will keep giving you strength if you'll stand for Him. And one of these days, He may change that, and in an instant, they can say, I want what you got. But you know, that's where we've got, as Christians, have got to walk the walk. Amen. We've got to walk it. And you know, I fail Him every day, and I'm ashamed of some things that I do, but I'm human. And He knows that. But He forgives me every time I ask for it. He knows I'm going to ask Him before I ask Him. He knows what I'm going to do before I do it. You know, that's God. But He can change you in an instant. If you need to be saved, get saved. Come to the altar. Do not delay. You may not make it to the steps. And I've heard that my whole life. But now that I've finally seen it and experienced some things that could have took me out, and He's finally showed me, remember back when you was 20 or when you was 18 or 16, and riding up down the roads running like you ran, and just wide open. And he'd get that deer across the road before I ever got there. You think of that. How many deer has He let cross the road before you ever got there? Or how many keep in the ditch line before you passed? There's so much God's done for us that we'll never know. But your life can change in an instant. I promise you, I've seen it, I've lived it. But now, you know, as I get older, I see how much God's hand has been in my life and your life. You have to agree with me here. He has protected us and guarded us and loved us for your whole life. And He will. He's going to love you forever. That's what, you know, His love will never stop. That's what gets me. So, you know, just let God show you His power in every situation. Let Him guide you. Let Him lead you. But always remember, it can change in an instant. In an instant. Amen. And if you need to do business with God, I pray that you do. If He's speaking to your heart, it's the right time. I promise you, if the convicting spirit is on you, that's the time you got to get saved. You may not get saved when you think you can, because it may be too late. Because He is God, and He does things His way. I cannot alter what He does. But I love the way that He's altered me. I do. I want you, Pastor, to come back. I love you. I thank you. You know, this church is kind of like, it's like Midway, and I love it, but... You know, I just love God, and I thank Him for what He's done in my life and my family. And can I take this off now? Thank you, brother. You come up and close your eyes.